Welcome back, everyone, to RoomPak's Res Ed Chat podcast. If you're new to the show, every episode, our team of hosts brings you timely discussions on a variety of topics of interest to higher ed professionals who work in and with university housing, residence life, residential education, whatever you might call it. And our conversation today is kind of the another chapter in the continued exploration of recruitment, staff management, organizational development, you know, as it comes to residence life teams. So obviously there's a lot there. I'll let our guest kind of guide us through her kind of experiences, perspectives, advice, strategies. But I think there's always kind of room and space for just new sort of perspectives and reflections and things in this area. So excited to kind of continue our exploration here. And Brittany, if you want to briefly introduce yourself and kind of give an overview of your professional background, because I feel like it's pretty cool for me. I was sort of looking at your LinkedIn, different places across the world that you have worked and everything. So excited to explore that together. But if you want to briefly introduce yourself, and then we'll get to the rest of our conversation here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Dustin. My name is Brittany McDaniel. I use she, her pronouns, and I serve as Associate Dean for Residential and Community Life at Wellesley College, which is right outside of Boston, Massachusetts. It's a historic women's college. And my career has been in res life so far. I started full-time in the profession close to 15 years ago, and I came up through the ranks. I was a hall director. I served as an assistant director over recruitment, selection, and training, which is where I first started to develop a passion for this topic. I've been an assistant director where my specialty was over residential curriculum, a director, and now serving in a role where I both oversee our residential education and housing ops teams, but then also oversee our honor code process, which includes academic integrity on campus. And so really a breadth of areas that I've had the opportunity to get exposure to. And as Dustin mentioned, both working within the U.S. and outside of the U.S., I'm a proud Georgia graduate. I have my PhD from the College of Ed down there in student affairs administration.
Yeah, so just a really cool background, I think, just to kind of pull on the thread a little bit, just because I'm curious, what was the experience like? Because where you worked globally was NYU Abu Dhabi. How did that come to be? Any just brief reflections on that experience? Because that's super unique. Curious to learn a little more about it.
Yeah, so I was working at the time at NYU's main campus as an assistant hall director. And so I was responsible for RA supervision, advising hall council, and overseeing community development. They have a more unique setup in their department over there. And when I was working there, they were a few years into their campus over in Abu Dhabi. They had been located in a temporary building in downtown Abu Dhabi, and they had built an entire campus literally from the desert up over there. And so they were quickly expanding, and there was an opportunity for me to transition from the NYU camp, the New York campus, over to Abu Dhabi. And I just had so many great experiences over there, I think, because it was in such a young part of its university life. I was able to initially start in a traditional res ed position. I gained exposure to housing operations, and that was actually where I served as the assistant director for selection and training. And so quite a memorable experience.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, just looking at, like, you spent 3 years there. Like, this is just like a cool chapter of your life and professional journey. And I guess, yeah, just sort of a well-placed kind of zooming in, since that was like you said, sort of your kind of initial steps in this journey. I'm just curious, just to sort of, like, you know, we'll spend a little bit of time here, but just sort of, like, you know, your journey overseeing, like, recruiting and staff practices and everything in the residence life context, like, was there something that, like, attracted you to it? Like, I'm wondering sort of, like, push-pull factors kind of thing, like, what interested you about it, and sort of, like, what it was like kind of starting in that very unique context doing this work, like, any things that you learned as you then kind of moved on to various institutions and everything. Well, kind of, I think, take some kind of baby steps through this and then kind of, go a little bit further.
Yeah, so I think to back up to understand my exposure to this, I think it's really important to talk about my early days as a hall director. I was that professional where I got into this work because I was so passionate about building community. I loved working with students directly and, you know, doing, at the time we had a programming model, being able to bring students together, be able to advise them. I wasn't really thinking too much about how do I construct my RA team. I participated in RA selection at the time, and I would hire, interview and hire RAs. But it wasn't really until I started to get to Abu Dhabi that I realized, oh, wait, who I hire for my team has a direct influence on the experience that we're able to provide to our students. And so I think that was where my passion for this really started to flourish. And I started to really think more intently about, like, how are we designing this process to really be able to understand people's unique strengths and talents? And along with that, being able to help them understand, you know, what is it that they're signing up for? Over in Abu Dhabi, it was such an interesting environment to be in because so many of our students weren't coming from Western countries. And so they didn't really have an understanding of what was a resident assistant. So it was also being able to work with them on, you know, helping them understand what was expected of them, of this role that they didn't really know too much about. And so I think that both of those pieces, it really started, you know, to spark something within me.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that's something where I'm sure many, you know, folks who begin in this work, being a resident director, you're overseeing a building, you're building the team, you're doing like, you know, kind of creating a lot of that ownership and that idea of, yeah, like you could sort of appreciate each individual RA that you like recruit on their own merits, but trying to think about like, you know, how do all the people that I select kind of work together? And even with what you're explaining, I think it's just a unique wrinkle of like, you know, how I guess like the word I'm thinking of is like the potential of somebody to kind of like grow into something that like they have like no preconceived notions about like what this is like supposed to be. So like that idea of like, you know, that being, you know, certainly a challenge in one sense, but also an opportunity. But like, I think, you know, for most, it might be, you know, that a lot of student staff members, I guess, for that example that you're recruiting here in the States would have maybe some sort of preconceived notion because they may, you know, well, certainly have lived in a hall and had an RA, so there might be like sort of basing it on that for better or worse, but then like, you know, movies and TV or whatever else, like you just sort of like get exposure in culture to like, you know, what an RA is or whatever else. So like, you know, how do you lean into that, you know, sort of build upon that, or then like what's it like to kind of maybe dissuade that? But so yeah, so you had that, you know, very unique kind of initial experience of sort of, I guess, you know, building your own team, like as a resident director, you know, recruiting your own RAs and choosing them and everything. And I get then sort of like graduating from that into doing that sort of department wide and that being sort of like what you've kind of done now in a few different kind of institutional contexts and everything. So I guess just with like kind of painting with a broad brush, like that idea of like different institutional types and, you know, kind of their cultures and whatever else, like any just sort of like, as you kind of began on that part of your journey of being like, okay, I'm going to be helping, you know, to orient these processes of recruitment, staff management, and whatever else, like, I guess just any sort of anecdotes or sort of milestones of just sort of like that journey, how you sort of learned and grown through, I mean, I guess a couple of different contexts of like, yeah, university, yeah, because you're at Abu Dhabi, University of Georgia, Washington University of St. Louis, and now West, like those are all very different institutions. So I guess that's what's sort of like cropping up in my mind of like doing the same kind of work that we're talking about here in different institutional contexts to kind of just take us through the rest of your professional journey. Any sort of reflections, anecdotes, kind of things that you can think of around this sort of work in all those different environments?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that the environment piece is so key, right? So, you know, in Abu Dhabi, even with pro staff, right, we were trying to recruit for people and helping them understand sight unseen for some of the positions, like what was it like to relocate across the world to this unknown environment, right? So that was also I think a marketing approach that we had to consider of helping people understand what their experience was going to be a half a world away. But then to move on, I think, you know, even when I reflect back during my time in Abu Dhabi, like my understanding of recruitment practices and staffing, it was still, I would consider to where I am today, like a very like elementary, intermediary understanding of what this work can be. I think it was having really strong mentors at Georgia. Dr. K is one of them. I remember he would talk to me a lot about, you know, working in housing is often about, you know, people, facilities, and budget. And I think that I've really leaned into this idea of people. How are we investing in our people? How are we creating a culture of them where they feel engaged, where they're able to thrive, that they want to show up to work? Because in doing that, then we're going to be able to create and facilitate a really strong student experience. And so that is something that I've taken with me since. I think when I was at WashU, my role there was predominantly overseeing professional staff selection, recruitment selection, and then indirectly with students. And I was also responsible for the performance management of everybody within my unit. That included both full-time staff as well as indirect paraprofessionals. And so I think with working at WashU, which was a very large institution, it also, there was also a lot of stakeholder engagement because the residential experience was so core to the larger college experience. I really started to recognize the importance of, you know, thinking about how are we recruiting professional staff for these positions, and what are all these considerations that I should be taking in mind when thinking about who are we interviewing, hiring, and how are we training them to set them up for success in their roles at the college.
I guess what's sort of like resonating with me or kind of sticking out from what you're saying is like, you know, and it's not just like totally one way or another, but like the idea of like that you have certain, you know, maybe mantras or different things that you're saying, that like that idea of like, well, you know, you got to be sort of like water flowing into whatever kind of container and vessel that you're in sort of thing, versus like maybe doing the like, well, I've kind of got my box of tricks. I'm going to kind of pull those out and utilize them, and sort of the like best practices kind of mindset or whatever, that like, you know, there would be enough variability of different institutions, their history, their context, size, whatever, that like, you know, as long as you kind of have like kind of a good core and foundation, you can kind of use that to ground yourself while you're sort of being, you know, flexible to kind of the organization that you're working in and everything. Because I kind of want to segue to like, you know, what to you is emblematic of like a successful strategy here of like, you know, staff recruitment and kind of performance management, whatever else, you know, because I guess, yeah, from what you're saying, like I'm getting a feeling that it may be a bit more about the flexibility versus like kind of feeling maybe beholden to kind of best practices. But if you want to kind of, I don't know if I'm putting words in your mouth, but like, you know, speak to, I guess, to you, like what is emblematic of a successful strategy here?
Yeah. So, you know, I always like the term favored practices, because I think that there is a lot of great research. There's a lot of things that work that we know generally will work. But I think to your point of it's recognizing like each institution is its own unique environment. And so being able to remain flexible and adaptable, but I think knowing that framework that you're operating in. I think that some of the things that are, you know, emblematic to a successful strategy, one thing is, you know, assessing your workforce needs. This is something since my days, you know, going back to Abu Dhabi, but especially during my time at WashU and even during my time here at Wellesley, of really thinking about what are our student needs. Our students have changed significantly in the past few years. And so thinking about what do they need out of their experience? How are we supporting them during their time at our institution? And thinking about, you know, what are our existing roles? What are tweaks that we might want to be making to existing roles, or what are new roles that we might want to go to senior leadership to propose to receive funding for, to just better meet those student needs. And so that's something that I think that leaders should always be thinking about, is just, you know, how are we evolving the position descriptions within our departments and thinking about our staffing needs. I also think about, you know, thinking about just what is the plans of our current staff. I think that we're a field that has had, especially in our more entry-level roles, significant turnover. And so really thinking about, you know, what is it about those roles that we can be adapting to maybe retain folks longer in those positions. And so that's like the first thing. And that I think is just something that's ongoing, whether you're in an active recruitment cycle or not, are things to be considering.
No, I think that's really good, because that's sort of like kind of a, to me, I guess, from what you're saying, that's like a through line to, yeah, like the entirety of sort of what you're doing day to day, you know, what do our, you know, our residents, our students need, our student leaders, you know, and how do we sort of like, you know, train ourselves to give, you know, the, you know, everybody kind of what they need and what they're looking for, what's relevant to them and all of that. But one thing that I'm curious about specifically is like on literally kind of the recruitment piece of like, you know, getting the word out, getting it out to like, you know, more different kinds of people to have kind of, you know, diverse student staff and everything, I guess, on that one point, because I'd imagine just like, that's where there's been a lot of change, you know, ever since like I was an RA. So like anything that you could speak to about like kind of a successful strategy when it comes to like literally trying to get the word out, get it out to different kinds of people, you know, how much of it is still kind of analog or the like, you know, tapping people on the shoulder kind of thing, or, you know, doing things, you know, through other platforms, I guess any reflections on kind of like changes over time there that you've experienced, or just what you'd recommend to folks in terms of that kind of student staff recruitment piece.
You know, I think that really thinking about your marketing strategy across campus is key. And so that's both the old, you know, the old school, the flyering, the tabling maybe of getting the word out. But I think also, you know, being intentional, you know, working with student org advisors of to be able to go to org meetings or to go to, you know, cultural, if you have cultural houses on campus, to be able to go to those houses and being able to explain what the RA role is, answer their questions, talk about, you know, how it fits into their overall collegiate experience is one way to go about recruiting. I think what I like about in my experiences of being able to go to orgs, right, is that you're in an environment where students might be a little bit more comfortable in asking those questions because they're with other students that they feel are likely to feel more comfortable with. And so I think that those can be a great alternative or a great add-on to even info sessions, which I know that those are also a popular approach to do. I also, when I think about student staff recruiting specifically, what I really like to do too is, you know, is to, you know, think about how are we promoting it in within the hall. So it's outside of just the flyering and the tabling, right? But it doesn't really, it's, I guess it kind of speaks to the shoulder tapping, but it's like having RAs go up to those students who might not otherwise see themselves as leaders and say like, hey, I really think you should apply. You know, here's like a QR code or like, you know, why don't we all have this session where we can sit down and, you know, walk through the application together once again in that smaller, more intimate environment.
Yeah, because that's what, like, for me, like, I mean, that was how I became an RA, was the sort of like individual kind of invitation versus it just being like, you know, well, hey, like anybody could come out to an info session. Like, well, hey, like we put flyers up, everybody can see them. Like, you know what, like that's sort of like, you know, kind of resting on your laurels of like, well, this is a good opportunity. We put the word out there. So like, if they want to apply, anybody can apply. But then like, you may end up still just getting the, you know, folks who would feel like a more kind of archetypal, you know, RA reaching out. But I do like that idea of like, kind of the just like, you know, shoe leather politicking of just sort of like, you know, pounding the pavement, getting out there, going out to like, you know, student org meetings and different, you know, places and spaces to like, at least put like a personal face, and that you maybe at least then say like, if you do have questions, like, come ask me or something, versus it being like, you know, and this may be, you know, harder or easier, I guess, depending on the institutional context. But I think like, there just being a lot of value in that sort of personal touch to all of this to try to make sure that you're doing all that you can to kind of cultivate a diverse staff. And because I think like what I've been grateful to see too is folks like, you know, with an experience like this, like it's a very impactful opportunity becoming an RA, is like recognizing like, you know, who are the individuals that I think, you know, would do a good job, but just like get a lot out of the job versus it being like, you know, the high achieving, like, well, I'm an OL, I'm an RA, I'm a student club president, and this, that, the other, and whatever. And it's just like, cool, I'm sure you would do an amazing job. But also there's this like person over here who has like no kind of leadership opportunities to kind of step up and find their voice and their leadership style and all that, like, you know, and kind of giving them that that chance to grow, you know, and kind of blossom and flourish and things. So, and I think you make your job easier there. Like just getting just exposure into more, you know, different areas and kind of adding that personal touch, I think. So,
yeah. And I think like what you hit on is so important to keep in mind, right? It's like this mentality that some students have about like, how can I secure as many leadership opportunities as possible? It's like, you know, like doing your bingo card. And it's, you know, I think that as the hiring managers of like being conscious of that, right? Of, you know, is that something that, you know, could be a factor in why certain people are applying? And is that going to result in us having somebody who is, you know, doing the RA role, which is a very hard role to do, like, you know, with the right intent.
And I guess the last thing I'm thinking of here before we start to kind of wind down is like, you know, because I think staff practices, like, you know, I think the two big buckets are, you know, how are you recruiting, you know, a strong, diverse team, and then, you know, managing expectations, performance management, like those sort of things. So like any thoughts generally on that and like, you know, ways that, because I guess for me, it's, you know, it's showing a level of care of like taking it seriously, holding people accountable, consequences, all those sort of things. Like, because I think like it's as much as we'd want for residents and like roommate situations or whatever, like you gotta kind of follow through and live out your values, whatever else. So like any reflections, advice, sort of things on that front of kind of what I feel like is the other big kind of piece of this pie is like the performance management aspect of how you sort of oversee and kind of lead your teams.
Really, when you think about performance management, it starts even before somebody is hired, right? It's about really throughout the recruiting process, really communicating what are your departmental and institutional values? What is it like to work within your department and larger institution? And really giving the candidate ample opportunity to ask all their questions, to really understand, especially if it's a live-on role, like what is it going to be like to live where you work? Because once again, each institution, you know, is just going to be so different in terms of, you know, what that environment is going to be like. And so I think that that's really where it starts, because it's you showing that transparency to the candidates. I think it continues, you know, once you hire somebody, you know, thinking about the pre-onboarding communication. How are you, you know, making sure that they have what they need so they can have a successful transition into your organization? I think it's human nature to, you know, have a lot of questions before you start a new role. I think it's especially if you're uprooting your life. And so making sure that folks feel really good with what they're coming into, because I think that when you're able to create that sense of comfort and that, I guess, that openness, that's going to ultimately contribute to, you know, their ability to do, to some extent, to do good work for the department. And then I think that that continues on through the onboarding and training process, really thinking critically about, you know, who are you connecting with them with? How are you ensuring that, you know, within the first few weeks, several months, like they're getting trained on the systems that they need to understand, that they're learning the unwritten norms of what it means to work at your institution. Because it just all goes back to those pieces of, you know, I think that on paper, we can see that somebody's going to do a good job, but it's really about, you know, helping to set up the stage so that way that they're able to come into your specific organization and thrive in the work that they're doing. And so that's also, you know, thinking about like what is your working relationship going to be like? What are their needs? And, you know, setting those expectations and, you know, yeah, accountability is part of it, but accountability comes from the beginning of being able to be very explicit and sharing with somebody, here's what you can expect. You know, here's how you're going to know if you didn't meet my expectations. Here are the things that I promise. I think that all those communication pieces are just so critical in terms of supporting performance management of those that work for you. And then checking in, right? Like it's an ongoing conversation, right? So it's always seeing how they're doing, what questions they have, and, you know, figuring out how can we continue to add to the experience.
Yeah, I like so much of what you said there, because I think the sort of like, you know, pre-work in a sense of even just like, you know, even like during an interview, like kind of making things very clear of like, this is how we do it. And, you know, somebody might be like, ooh, okay, I don't want to work there. And it's like, great, you saved us both like time and, you know, all that. But because I think it's, you know, you want to just be able to be clear about, you know, how you operate, you know, expectations and all that. Because I think sometimes it is where like just too little of that happens or like things just aren't clear and you only end up like articulating things or enforcing them when somebody like steps out of line or kind of makes some sort of mistake. It's just like, hey, well, that's not how we do it here. And it's just like, I would not have done it if I have known that that was the case. Like you just didn't really do a good job of like making that clear. And it's like those sort of pieces of like how much you can kind of like start planting seeds early. And I think, I mean, across our whole conversation, I feel like a lot of this, like, you know, depending on where you're kind of, you know, your vantage point and your team, like, could apply to student staff or professional staff. Like we kind of like went with like professional staff, I think, for this example, but a lot of it could definitely cross-pollinate. But the other piece that really resonated with me was the kind of what you're speaking to of like kind of the ongoing nature of like, you know, and I think it's just obviously like the vernacular is where people, I think, get very limited in their sort of perspective, but like training and onboarding a person like can really take months to do, like, and you have to like kind of take that sort of approach of like, cool, yeah, you maybe have this like intensive 2 weeks of, you know, here's all these documents and, you know, sessions that you're doing and whatever else, but then like, you know, you're still doing everything for the first time in your first year. So like, you know, recognizing that, appreciating that, and just, you know, hopefully empowering, you know, whoever someone's manager is to have the sort of mindset of like, you know, getting in their shoes for a bit and maybe kind of walking along them in their journey and to kind of like use that as maybe the context for how you're sort of supporting someone in their development in the particular position at that particular institution, or just knowing like, well, typically in month three, we like to just make sure that we review like this particular platform. You're probably using it more, you know, for your day-to-day work. So we're going to, you know, give that a little bit more, you know, emphasis. But I think, yeah, both really good points of not just sort of looking at something as, you know, well, we hired you, we trained you over 2 weeks, and now like best of luck. And, you know, we'll kind of bring the hammer down if you make a mistake and kind of, you know, articulate expectations at that point. Like, you know, it should be a very kind of longer continuum of things. And I think that, you know, I think would be, I mean, honestly, like kind of empowering for people to, you know, kind of look at it that way versus the feeling like, oh my God, if I don't like, you know, get to it in that 2 weeks, like I, you know, could never get to it again or whatever. So to kind of put a nice fine point on this, as we start to wind down, what makes all of this work so important from your perspective? Because I think a lot of people may sort of understand conceptually like, yeah, you know, like training is important, all that. But like, how do you sort of like, you know, maybe just from like a motivational kind of point of view, like, you know, what sort of inspires you when it comes to this kind of work? Like, what makes it so important?
Yeah, I think just remembering that every single hiring decision is ultimately a student success decision, right? So we are hiring people to do a specific role with the intent that they are going to support our students. And so I think it's just so important that we're leading with empathy, that we're really designing our employee experience very intentionally in recognizing that our staff are people too, right? And so being able to pour into them and make sure that they have what they need so that way they can do good work.
Yeah, that's a very powerful and succinct way to put that. Like it is, like, because I think it's stuff like this of like, you know, like your budget is where you live out your values kind of thing. Like where you put, like, it's sort of similarly, I guess, to this conversation, the idea of like where you kind of put your emphasis, your perspective, your time, your focus, like, you know, all of this is a student success decision. Like if you, you know, who are you hiring? How many people are you hiring? Like, are you going to backfill for a position if they leave? And it's all that. It's like, well, you thought initially that, you know, community deserved to have like a dedicated full-time staff member just being like, I don't know, you know, we'll just have like one person over two buildings or whatever. It's like, well, you're not really living out your values very well if you're like just saying like, no, it'll be fine. Like we can just stretch somebody over or whatever. So I think, yeah, it is really important to just center yourself on understanding that, yeah, all these kind of conversations and decisions and, you know, structures that you're making, you know, are going to have a direct impact on the student experience and student success. So for this one, I'll kind of break this apart. Just make sure if there are any resources and advice, start with resources, stuff we could link out to in the show notes, anything that you would like to refer people to go check out to kind of keep their learning going on this topic.
Yeah, so a couple come to mind. So I think Dinaja Thomas is the director of the Placement Exchange, and she's done phenomenal work in the past couple of years to really rebrand the Placement Exchange. I think it's a great resource to not just, you know, go and post your jobs and recruit, but I think, you know, they've really added a lot of quality content around you know, employer resources and what to think about when you're recruiting, but then also too on the job seeker side, you know, resources to support them in their process as well. And so I think that that's an excellent resource that's also it caters a little bit more specifically to our work in Res Life. I came to the podcast game late. And so I've just started to get into podcasts probably in the past year or so. And there are two podcasts that I really enjoy listening to. One is I Hate It Here podcast. It's a podcast that's focused on HR practices. And the premise of the podcast, I'm like giving it away, is that, you know, it's a common across many industries. It's a common thought of like, people will say that they don't like working where they're working, but it's really thinking about the HR work through the lens of like, how are we starting to shift that? And what are we doing within our roles to, you know, better support our employees? And then SHRM, which is the Society for Human Resource Management, has a few different podcast series that I, you know, recommend listening to. And they've had a few different episodes that speak specifically to thinking about marketing strategy, recruitment, and then also onboarding practices.
Awesome. Good stuff. I'll make sure to put that in the show notes in the description and blog post for this episode for folks to check out. But I will give you the floor to kind of wrap up the episode here. Final thoughts, final piece of advice to end the episode with.
Yeah, I think you said it so well a little while ago, Dustin, is this the idea of, you know, I think that we do so much in our work, right? Like the school year starts and we get going and it can be very, we can very quickly get wrapped up in like so many different things. But to remember that for many of us, you know, and I think that there's a significant shift. We used to onboard high numbers during the summer. Now it's happening throughout the year. But really starting to understand that onboarding, especially for our professional staff, it takes the first year. And so it's not a 2-week process. You know, it's really about, you know, doing your best to build it out very intently. Like, what does that onboarding process look like over the course of, you know, 90 days, 6 months, you know, 9 months into a year, and like having a solid structure that you can commit to following, and as well as those on your team also follow. I think that that's just something that I know I can lose sight of, but I think it's just so critical in terms of supporting staff retention.
Yeah. And I mean, and I think it's even just like keeping that sort of like North Star, something you aspire to and work towards. And because I think it's an important core to this of not, you know, to overlook the idea of, you know, somebody going through all the things in the, you know, for the first time. And that, like, if you're not guiding it, it may be that somebody's sort of like veering off the path that you kind of have in your mind. And then like, it could just take so much time to kind of get them back on course. And it's just like, okay, earnestly, I wasn't trying to like do things wrong or whatever else, but I just like didn't have the guidance. So like, as much as you can kind of like, you know, kind of cultivate sort of, you know, your new folks kind of staying on the path that you want them to, you know, whatever form it takes, because I can imagine, yeah, like you maybe, you know, kind of do group sessions or something to kind of keep people like up to speed on things, or, you know, maybe put it more on individual managers and you kind of have people that are kind of, structuring that and giving folks the tools to do that or something. Like there's a lot of ways to do this from just my mindset or just sort of what we're kind of talking about here. But yeah, I feel like I've always kind of had a curiosity to sort of this like organizational development kind of work and just kind of how important it is and sort of my own experiences and just observing, you know, how some organizations do it better and, you know, than others. And so I hope that folks will keep the conversation going, connect with you, check out the resources and, you know, take inspiration from kind of all the different things that we've talked about here. Cause I feel like it was sort of like soup to nuts of like everything from, you know, that initial kind of touch point of telling someone to apply, you know, through the end of their first year, there's a lot that you can be doing to make a really positive impact on, you know, their individual experience as a staff member, but then obviously ultimately on the success of your students that you were serving. So all really great stuff, and, you know, of ways to connect with you and the resources and everything, again, in the show notes for this episode. So just thank you so much for hanging out, for sharing all that you did, and for all the great work that you do.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.